You're listening to Trek FM.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
To the journey.
Everybody at home and welcome. This is To the Journey.
To the journey!
My name is Charlene Schmidt, and with me as always is...
Tristan Riddell.
Tristan Riddell. Have you been on Twitter lately?
You know what? I have been. There's rarely a time when I'm not, which is kind of sad when you think about it. Why? Have you heard something? Is there some sort of news?
Yeah, I guess there's this little thing that came out this week, and I figured, I don't know, maybe we ought to talk about it, and... That's the fact that the Star Trek series thing that's coming out next year, I guess. It's got a showrunner, and his name is Brian Fuller. You ever heard that name?
You know, it's vaguely familiar, vaguely familiar.
Vaguely, ever so vaguely, yeah. It's not like he's like, just, you know, everywhere now.
It's not like he's a power producer anymore or anything like
No. But yeah, I figured we ought to mention this because he's got a huge Voyager connection. Brian Fuller wrote several episodes of Star Trek Voyager, therefore it's relevant to TTJ, and just the fact that, oh my gosh, we have some news on the actual series, we ought to acknowledge this. Hooray!
Yeah, absolutely. This is big, big news, and everybody should be excited, and if you're not, something's wrong with you. And just as a reminder, here are the episodes that Brian Fuller wrote for Voyager. There's 22.
22. That's a huge chunk.
In order of appearance, The Raven, Mortal Coil, Retrospect, Living Witness, Drone, Bride of Chaotica,
Woo!
Gravity, Dark Frontier Part 1, Course Oblivion, Juggernaut, Relativity, Barge of the Dead, my personal favorite, Alice, One Small Step, Spirit Folk, Fury, we'll give him a slide on Fury, The Haunting of Deck 12, Flesh and Blood 1 and 2, Workforce 1 and 2, Friendship 1. So now, there's some not-so-okay episodes in that list, but there's some absolutely amazing episodes in that list.
Like, yeah, there's a couple that clearly slipped through the cracks, but yeah. I'm willing to forgive that for the fact that he wrote Bride of Chaotica, among many other very solid Voyager episodes. I mean, overall, that's a very good track record.
Yeah, Living Witness, Dark Frontier, Barge of the Dead.
Yeah, yeah. This is some very good stuff. You know, a lot of times...
Great stuff.
Those are episodes that are considered the very best of Voyager. So he wrote them, and he's going to run the next Star Trek show. I think this is a very good thing.
Yeah, he started his career, his writing career, on Deep Space Nine and wrote two episodes and swiftly went over to Voyager and spent a chunk of his career there. From there on, he's done shows... called Wonderfalls, Dead Like Me, Pushing Daisies. He wrote a few episodes for Heroes. Mm-hmm. He tried to reboot The Munsters, which we won't talk about.
Because, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Sadly.
And then he did what he's most notable for, at least currently, is Hannibal.
Right, which is huge. It's got a nice cult following.
It's got a huge following. I personally do not like Hannibal because of its content. It's a little bit too rough for me.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, it's quality. Like it's got a story arc. It's shot well. It's written well. It's performed well. So he makes even if you don't like some of his content, we are guaranteed quality Star Trek.
Yes, I think we are in for a real treat. And it just so happens that Brian Fuller is a huge Star Trek fan. I mean, he got his start on Deep Space Nine by pitching a spec script. He did it that old-fashioned way. He was one of those people who made it. And look at him now. That's amazing. And he is a true fan. He really knows his Star Trek inside and out. And the internet has just exploded with things like old interviews with him and stuff like that. Ideas he's
had for
series before.
Pictures of him at conventions.
Conventions. I mean, you name it. And so I'm nothing less than thrilled because this is exactly who we need to run a show. In 2016. So,
yeah, absolutely.
You know 100%. What? We are on our way. Woo! I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too. And also, one thing that I was really excited about was the positive reaction online.
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad you brought this up.
Yeah, it's so sad that I'm saying this out loud and that I have to say this out loud, but I haven't seen this kind of positivity from Star Trek fans in a long time.
It really has been. I honestly do not remember the last time.
Not since Enterprise went off the air?
And that's kind of sad in and of itself, right? A show went off the air and people celebrated? Aw, come on, guys.
Well, no, I think they were just celebrating as in they enjoyed the run. I'm not saying like, like, thank God it's dead. Oh. I'm saying that.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
You know, like we had negativity surrounding Nemesis.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of negativity with 09, even more with Into Darkness, and the release of the trailer of Beyond. And it's just, but this was like 99% positive. That's what we have not seen. We had mixed reviews.
Yeah, like 09, there was definitely a positive vibe going around where it was like, oh, thank goodness Star Trek is back. Yeah. But there were also the haters. Yeah, this is overwhelmingly positive news. And people are actually talking positive for a change, not being cynical. And oh, hey, all right, this is good. It's so refreshing. Can we please keep this up? Please?
yes, folks, let's continue this trend. Let us make the Star Trek fandom a place for positivity once again, because we have much more control over that than we give ourselves credit for.
Yes, but I think also this solidifies the fact that we have a lot more good news to look forward to.
Yes, I think it's only down. It's only good things to come.
Yes, well, this isn't what we're talking about for the whole episode. We have an interesting topic, and this is something that I sort of wanted to rip off from Earl Grey, because they did a really cool episode recently where they took TNG episodes and decided if they would be better fits on any of the other series. So you could take a season one episode from TNG and put it on Enterprise, or would it work better on Voyager, etc. And I thought that was a really neat idea. But on TTJ, we love our rewrites. And so we're going to add our own TTJ spin. We're not going to totally copy them. We decided to just kind of pick an episode at random. And what we're going to do is take a TNG episode this time, and we're going to format it for Voyager. And you just randomly threw out, when we were deciding this, Captain's Holiday. And I had the vision of Janeway, you know, sitting in the sun of the Delta Quadrant equivalent of Risa and reading her book. And I just thought, yes, let's do that one. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to put Captain's Holiday into Voyager style.
Now, for those of you who do not remember, Captain's Holiday was episode 19 of season 3. And it takes place where Picard just gets back from a long negotiation, and you can just tell that he is very fatigued. And Deanna goes to Riker and says, yeah, he's exhausted, he needs a vacation. Well, Picard hates vacations because that's what captains do, they hate vacations. And so they go through this whole rigmarole trying to convince him. Even Beverly chimes in and tries to convince him to finally go on a vacation. So he agrees, and under Riker's recommendation, he goes to Risa. And this is the first time we see Risa.
Yes, it is.
And this aired in April of 1990, so that's almost 30 years ago.
Isn't that crazy?
It's absolutely, absolutely insane. And so Picard goes and he takes books with him. He has no interest in, you know, like massages or swimming or the beach or anything like that. He's just sitting in the sun reading his book.
Or ladies,
yeah. Even though Riker continually talks about how imaginative the Risian women are.
He would know.
And so what happens is that a friend, like a Vash, we all know Vash, comes up and kisses him out of the blue. And he's like, whoa, okay, that's weird.
Simple handshake would have sufficed.
Yeah, that was Vash trying to like shake a tail. And that tail is a Ferengi, which is actually played by the same guy who played Rom in Deep Space Nine.
Max Krydenchik.
All of this, like, they start an adventure where Vash is trying to find the MacGuffin. It's the Taxutat. They're trying to find the Taxutat, which is it's like a small diamond that could displace the fusion in a star, which is bad things because we saw that in Generations.
Yes.
What happens is, like, some Vorgons come from the future and visit Jean-Luc and say, hey, you're going to find the Taxutat and you're going to give it to us because it belongs in the future because we tried to hide it in the past. And Jean-Luc's like, okay. And so him and Vash basically go through these adventures together to try and find the Taxutat. And they try to avoid the Ferengi, who's pissed at Vash because he originally hired Vash to get the Toxutat, and then Vosh just took his money and ran. And so it all culminates like they go and they go to the caves and they can't find it. And so the Ferengi's super pissed, but he stays behind in the caves to find it. And then they go back to the resort, and then Picard finds Vosh trying to hightail it out of there. And then Picard puts two and two together and realizes that Vosh had it all along. It was just to shake the Ferengi off of her tail to make him convinced that she didn't have it. And then the Vorgons come, and Vosh is like, wait, you're just going to give it to him? You believe them, but you don't believe me? What's the deal? And then Picard finds out that it was, they're not actually, they might be from the future, but they don't have the best intentions. And so Picard calls upon the Enterprise crew to perform a transporter code 14 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And what that does is basically destroy
it blows it up.
Yeah, I don't know why you would have that feature and why it's so high on the list. Like, why is that 14?
Right?
That feels like that should be like 730.
Do we ever see that again? I don't know if we do.
I don't think so, no. And then, you know, like Picard kisses Vosh and, oh, they did a little bit more than that earlier.
Well, maybe. I mean, it's implied.
It was implied that they did more. And, you know, Picard goes back to the ship, and it's clear that he had a good time, and Riker's very pleased with himself. Thus is the episode.
Nice synopsis. Very well done. So, yes, Captain's Holiday. We're going to put this on Voyager. Well, clearly, one thing has to change. There's no Risa in the Delta Quadrant. We need an equivalent.
Yeah, so we need a premise. We need a premise here. We need to start, like, what gets Janeway to vacation? Because here's the thing. This is what I was struggling with, which why this might not be a good idea to choose Captain's Holiday, because with Captain's Holiday, it's very much just about the captain. It's just about Picard. We have, like, a few people up here at the beginning, but it's really just Picard. So it would be easy just to say, oh, we have an episode that's exactly the same, except it's Janeway, you know? But obviously, we got to do stuff different, because when the crew goes on vacation, like if Janeway could go on vacation, the whole crew would be able to go on vacation. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, you know, I love the idea of the crew scheming to make her go.
Yeah.
Because Janeway, she's very much like Picard in the sense that she is kind of a workaholic, and, you know, downtime is something that didn't come easy to her. I think as the series went on, it got better and better. You know, she would occasionally hide out and read her book and whatnot. And so we can keep the books. We know that much. But, you know, I could definitely see Janeway, despite being completely exhausted. And who more deserving of a vacation than Janeway? Right. But being reluctant to go. I mean, maybe there is some pressing matter on the ship and the crew still needs to scheme to get her to go down and take a freaking 5-day shore leave. And you could still have the whole, you know, the doctor card of, hey, I could make you. I could force you. Don't make me do it.
I think that the doctor has to. I think that, like, Picard was basically nagged into it, where he's like, am I going to have to put up with all of you saying that I need to take a vacation? Is that the only way that you guys are going to get off my back? And so he caves. I don't think Janeway would cave. And so I think what I had in my head was basically where they show up to a planet, kind of like the guy, like the pleasure guy.
Creepy pleasure guy. Uh-huh.
Creepy pleasure guy, yeah. They show up to a planet like that where they're like, listen, like, maybe it's like, B'Elanna's like, okay, I have to refurbish the engines. There is no waiting, like, there's no more waiting. Like, we see that again.
Yeah,
you know, like, you know how we see that later on in the show. Maybe it's something like that where she's like, okay, we have to do some maintenance. And there just happens to be a planet that, you know, like, has a place for us to dock, and it turns out they have some really nice beaches.
Yeah, I figured, you know, we could easily find a nice planet for her to go to. That wouldn't be an issue at all. It's not Risa, but it's going to be pretty nice.
But I see her, like, going to Chakotay and saying, like, oh, this would be so great for everybody to go and have some much-needed R&R, except for the engineering team, of course. And then Chakotay says, like, where are you going to go? And Janeway says, oh, I gotta oversee the refit. I gotta go and everything like
that. Yeah, she has, she's got every plan to basically just get, you know, her hands dirty with B'Elanna doing the maintenance with them because they need the help. That's her rationale.
Oh, and can you imagine, okay, like, can you imagine, like, B'Elanna having a scene with Chakotay where, like, she goes, okay, you have to get rid of her. Like,
yes!
You have to get rid of Janeway.
Yes!
She is over my shoulder. She's, like, it is, she's driving me insane. And Chakotay's like, you can't talk about the captain that way. He's like, and, like, maybe we see some scenes where, like, Janeway's literally over her shoulder.
Oh, gosh. Oh, that's perfect. That is absolutely perfect. I love that. That's perfect, like, character interaction right there. Yeah.
So, yeah, she goes to Chakotay and pleads with him, and he's like, okay. And so we start that initiation. You know?
Yeah, then maybe he goes to Janeway and says, hey, look, no, you don't have to do this. They've got it. Let them do their job. Yeah. Why don't you go off and have a good time? And she's like, no, I can't do it. Then the doctor steps in.
Right.
And says, okay, you know, it's kind of a similar script. There's a crew member who's absolutely exhausted, just, you know, is not performing up to optimal proficiency. And Janeway's going to be a little more oblivious, I think. Oh, well, who is it?
Yes. Yeah, I think so, too. I think Picard is very astute along the way. Like, he knows exactly what Beverly's talking about.
Yeah.
He knows exactly what Riker and Troy are doing. But I think Janeway would be so involved where she'd be like, well, who is it? It's a good thing that we're at this planet, then. That they
yeah,
can get
send
them
down.
R&R.
And so then the doctor says, okay, head down to the transporter room. And she's like, what?
What?
I like, think that would be good because the straw that broke the camel's back for Picard was the threat of L'Oxana Troy visiting the ship. And Troy mentioning how eager she was to see Picard. He's just, oh, no, I can't deal with this right now. So without that... Without that kind of an edge, yeah, you have to force her to go down. And so the doctor can do that. And then it's done.
And so she has to do it. And so I think there needs to be some sort of isolation aspect where she finds out that the entire crew is like going to like this beach because it has the most fun stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then Janeway goes, but there's this one area that is kind of isolated and she just wants alone time. Like, she's surrounded by people constantly.
Right.
And so instead of, like, engaging in, like, windsurfing and everything like that, she just wants to go and relax and get pampered. I feel like Janeway would like getting pampered.
You think so?
I think so. I could see her doing the whole spa treatment thing. I don't know why. I just feel like...
I have a hard time envisioning it. I mean, like, I see a side of her that really would enjoy that luxury, but I feel like she's been deprived for so long... that she's just so used to refusing herself. Although, you know what? If they have a really nice bathtub.
Yes, that's what I'm picturing too. I think
okay.
I just don't picture her as much of a stick in the mud as Picard could be certain times.
Right. Yeah, I could definitely see Janeway enjoying a really nice like jet tub bath.
Right. That's what I'm thinking, like that kind of atmosphere, cuz she doesn't, you know, she's not the archaeologist type, you know, like she doesn't.
No, we're going to need to change that a little bit as we go along here. Because that applies to Chakotay, sort of, when he wants to.
When he
but
wants
for
to,
her,
yeah.
We need a different twist here with her romance.
Yeah, I think we could do that where, you know, like she goes and finds isolation and pampering and everybody else is like windsurfing and skydiving and whatever, you know, like all this high octane stuff. And she's like, you know what? We exist in the Delta Quadrant. We're constantly under fire. I just need some, like, I don't need the adrenaline rush.
Right, yeah. Janeway gets enough adrenaline going. She's not a junkie. She's not B'Elanna. She doesn't need the thrill. She gets that every day. So, yeah, I definitely agree with the isolation thing. And she wants some alone time. And she doesn't want to distract the crew. You know, like, there's still a thing of where, you know, if the captain's around, you're kind of going to have your guard on a little bit. Maybe you're not going to have... quite as much fun, or you're going to be a little more reserved. And so this is best for everybody.
Yes. And I think we could do a little foreshadowing where she says, she's like, I've had enough excitement for right now. So I think I'm just going to take it easy. And then boom, the audience knows, oh, well, that's exactly what she's going to get. You know, is excitement.
Yep. Easy. Okay. That is done. So we're going to be inserting, instead of a Vosh, well, a male equivalent.
Yes, and that was originally why I wanted to do Captain's Holiday, because a male Vosh, I love Vosh so much. I love her as a character. I'm glad we get to see her again. And
yes, yes.
It's just, I foresee this, whoever this person that we create. Also, fans, we're doing this on the fly. We didn't mention that at the beginning. We have not talked beforehand. Like, we didn't come up with ideas beforehand. This is all on the fly.
Yeah, unlike our other rewrites, we did not plan this at all. We are just going through the motions as we are recording right now.
Right, and I think that we could create a character that we would see again. I think we could see him pop up again later on in the series.
So she could have kind of this ongoing romance here and there, whenever he decides to show up.
Right. Yeah, he kind of just drops in, which I think, they desperately needed in Voyager. They needed something like that.
To make Chakotay jealous?
Yes, to make Chakotay jealous, to get have Janeway get some action.
Yeah, that's better than holograms, gotta say.
You know, yeah, it's better than holograms. I'm glad we got to see Michael more than once, but I feel like we could have seen a real person more than once, too.
Yeah, and a Vosh-type character would be the perfect candidate for that, because chances are he's flying about doing all sorts of things all over the place, and why wouldn't he show up all of a sudden?
Now, let's before we decide what this male Vosh, Mosh, we'll call him.
Mosh. I love it.
Before we figure out what Mosh is going to do or why Mosh is on the planet, let's figure out who Mosh is.
Yes, let's do that.
Vosh is into archaeology, and so is Picard. And so they have a kinship there, but they come from two very different worlds. She's like, she's going out on her own. She'll do anything that's risky and crazy. And she doesn't give a flip about the rules. Picard is very much about laws and about diplomacy, and you know, like he'll never take any risks that he doesn't have to. And so that's the whole like, you know, appealing opposites. Now Janeway is a little bit more gung ho than Picard.
She is. So this definitely changes the dynamic.
Yes. So who is our Mosh? Like, is he's got to be intelligent?
Oh, absolutely. To match her, yes.
Yes. Like, Janeway's very intelligent, and so Mosh has to be intelligent. Obviously gorgeous.
Well, clearly, yeah. Dare I say it, maybe even a little more handsome than Chakotay.
he would give Chakotay a run for his money.
How about that?
Yeah, I think, like, it's very, very roguish-esque. Ooh! 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 What if... what if Mosh was very much like Chakotay?
Oh. Do we get really mean on this and not make him a spitting image, but definitely have some similarities?
Like, there's some, like, he's got the peppered, you know, like, hair.
Yeah, peppered.
Maybe he has some sort of designation on his face, like something
like a tattoo, like, or something.
Something like, I don't know, something reminiscent of some sort of ornamentation.
He could be an alien. Maybe he's got a bump on his forehead or something. But he looks a lot like Chakotay, like both in just like build and in the face, the haircut, like everything. Oh, how mean are we?
Well, that's the thing, is that she, like, see, like, whether it's subconscious or not, we like, she sees this as an opportunity to do what she's always wanted to do.
That's right,
ladies and gentlemen, we brought it back to Janeway / Chakotay.
Oh my god, this is so incredibly mean, and yet I freaking love it. Oh my gosh, yes. Now, as a viewer, if I were watching this episode, I would be, are you effing kidding me, and still loving it.
Say that he was like a soldier or something.
Okay.
He was a soldier.
Ex-military.
On the front lines. There you go, ex-military. Now he's looking for some peace.
Okay, yeah, and he's finding his peace by just, like, laying low and not doing a whole lot. He's not looking for adventure anymore. He's a little burned out. So it's going to be Janeway bringing him into the adventure.
Oh, there you go.
And kind of getting him to relive a little bit of an adrenaline rush, the excitement of it, but, you know, not life-threatening, just, ooh, hey, that's kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, ooh. I like that. So
yeah. So what are they going to do? Are they going to science together?
That's my initial reaction, is that they're going to science together, but what?
Yeah, how do you, I don't know, make an adventure out of a scientific experiment or something?
Yeah. Now, what if it was something in nature?
Okay.
She doesn't like to rough it that much.
No, she hates camping. We know that.
She hates camping. So, geez, what could we do here? Because, like, my initial thought was, like, what if there's something she wants to observe in nature that's only, like, that like one of the locals said, like, oh yeah, you know, the migratory patterns of the such and such birds are amazing because, you know, every single fall they have this luminescence that lights up the bright sky, but nobody wants to, it's a rough hike, you know, like no one wants to go up that far.
Right. Or yeah, like, okay, what if something happens where she gets caught up, I don't know, in like a storm or something while she's out there. She's only got kind of what's on her back and realizes, okay, I'm here for the night. She finds a place that's kind of safe and secure to stay for the evening until the storm passes. And lo and behold, guess who's there? Mosh.
Well, I think that's good. Having them stranded is a good thing. Like that needs to happen. Like
yet another parallel too. Oh my God.
Yeah, they get stranded together. Now, I think what happens beforehand, though, I think we need to have something that makes her nervous, where
okay.
like she's sick of lying around, and then one of these locals says that something magnificent happens only every once, like maybe only once every 20 years or something like that.
Okay,
and
yeah.
But they're like, you know, it's but you should stay here, you know, you should relax and everything like that. And she's just itching to leave, and so she's like, I'm gonna go. And yeah. then, like, she goes and talks to the guy and says, hey, do you want to come with me? You know, like, no one should hike alone. You know, no one should go up there alone. And maybe he initially, you know, like, declines and says, like, actually, I'm gonna stay here. You know, I've had enough excitement. And so she's like, okay, well, I'll go by myself. I think something needs to happen where maybe the doc comes in and checks on her to make sure that she's actually there and like, and actually relaxing.
Okay.
And he sees Mosh.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, you know, like, maybe you should, like, maybe it's his idea for her to invite him. And
oh, yeah.
And the doc says, doesn't he remind you of someone? And she goes, what are you talking about? He's like, never mind.
I like that. Just walk away. I said nothing.
Yeah. He's like, okay, never mind. He doesn't remind me of anybody, but, you know, maybe you should take him up on the mountain, you know? Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want him to say no. You know, like, I don't,
well,
like, I
maybe
feel like
Janeway
maybe they should go up together.
It's like, it's just going to be for the afternoon. It's not going to take too much time out of your day. And it's a once in a, probably a lifetime opportunity. So come on, let's do this. And he's like, oh, all right. Because he doesn't want her to go alone.
Exactly. Yeah. See, I feel like the Chakotay type Vash
yes.
would not let a woman go in alone.
Well, he wouldn't let anybody go alone, not just a woman.
Oh my gosh. Don't twist my words. Like, Janeway is a woman, so he would not let a woman who is Janeway go out on alone. But
just,
yes,
I
anyone.
Have to make that distinction because...
Last time I checked, Janeway's a woman.
Well, yes,
she's self-sufficient. He is so responsible that he would not let
yeah.
a person go out on
okay,
alone on a
you.
Hiking trip. A person that he just happens to be attracted to.
Yeah.
And so they go up, and I think like maybe they don't take many supplies because of what you said.
Right. Yeah. So they're very underprepared.
Right. And she even makes a remark like she's like, I don't mind hiking, but I can't stand camping.
Yeah, I like that. She's you know, got to say that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
So then when it goes wrong, we know she is pissed.
Do we want them to witness the event before or after the storm?
I think just as they're like 5 seconds in of seeing whatever this is, then all of a sudden, chaos. And then,
nice.
Oh, really? Oh, take cover! You gotta run! So right as they're starting to enjoy like the fruits of their labor there for the hike, then they're screwed. I mean, that's such a vacation-esque thing, you know. It's a trope, but it works.
It's a trope, but it happens because I don't think we necessarily need an antagonist, like a species antagonist or like a guy with a gun. I think we could
no.
just do nature as the antagonist.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's nature.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's not complicate it with aliens from the future and Ferengi and things like that.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
yeah,
enough.
Exactly.
That's enough. Okay, so they are stranded. They find, I don't know, a cave, something to take shelter from a storm, keep themselves safe. They've got just enough rations to get through the night, and maybe it's bitterly cold. And I know they've got to
sleep
It's got to
be bitterly cold. It's got to be...
Of course it does. Come on.
He's like, oh my gosh, we only have one sleeping bag. Oh.
Hmm. And why do they even have one sleeping bag?
I don't know. It's just there's always just one sleeping bag. I don't know. It's just how it is. You know, they have their conversations. They realize that they have a lot in common. We reveal even more that Mosh is like Chakotay, and then sexiness ensues, and it's a slow dissolve to the next morning.
Fantastic. Okay, check. Janeway gets some.
Check. Janeway gets some. Confirmed.
All right. She's a happy lady. Okay. So then next morning, how are we going to get, you know, a twist here to keep this exciting?
Let's say that there was a rock slide because of the storm.
Oh, and they discover it in the morning?
Yeah, they discover it in the morning where the path that they originally came up has many natural barriers. And so they have to take the much more treacherous way down. They have rock climb down.
Okay. And of course, they don't have the equipment. But here is the thing. We have to discuss the idea that Janeway could just talk to Voyager and say, hey, beam us up.
Oh my gosh.
Okay,
we could say science to science. The storm was too crazy, so communications couldn't go through.
Yeah, too much EM interference or something.
Too much EM interference. And so that's why they had to find the cave. And let's say that she lost her communicator in the rush to go to the cave.
Okay, that's good.
There we go.
Okay, I like that. And they've not been gone long enough to where Voyager is concerned. So they're not trying to contact her. At least not yet. Maybe that is what happens down the line, is they start a search party for her because they realize that her comm badge hasn't changed location in a long time. And so they think, oh, she's hurt or something. And so they send out a search party down there to find her.
But I think what happens is, I like the search party idea because that way we can get more people involved in the episode.
Yeah.
But I feel like they have a treacherous way down the mountain. And there's tons of, you know, like, we're like, oh my God, save yourself. You know, like, no, I'm not leaving without you. And like one or the other, like, pulls each other up, you know, like, or like they slide on the rocks. And so they each take a turn saving each other or something like that.
Sure.
They make it down to the bottom. And that's right when the search party finds them, when they're already in safety.
Yeah. I feel like you got to add even a little bit more. Like, what if one of them gets injured in the meantime? Like a minor injury, making it just a tad more difficult than it already is.
I think he would have to be the one to get injured.
I agree. And so she's taking care of him and falling in love with him that much more.
Yeah, very Nightingale kind of thing going on.
And I just thought of something. Okay, since he's not the antithesis of Vash, but why would he be kind of gallivanting around in space, just flying around anywhere and occasionally meeting up with Voyager? I think maybe he is still in the military, but he's doing patrols of territory. You know, he's doing a very low-key job. How about that?
I don't know, because I feel like if he's ex-military, then he has his story and he's trying to get away from something and he's trying to find peace and that's why he's there. But if he's currently military and he's doing patrol and they're like, oh, he's just on vacation or, you know, like he's
okay,
just doing
you're right. That takes away all the gravity. Then why is he flying around? Because he can?
I guess because he can. Like maybe he's kind of like, it's the whole Kung Fu Legend Continues kind of deal where, you know, like he's a warrior, but he's trying to find peace. So he goes from town to town trying to help out and paint fences and things like that. I don't know.
Nice. Space Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah. He's like, I feel like, you know, like I've done so many bad things in my life that I'm trying to find some peace. And once I find some of that peace, maybe I'll try to give it to others or something like that.
He's trying to give back. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. That's why he pops up again. I feel like maybe a broken arm or like a broken wrist would be enough. But let's not go crazy with a broken leg.
No, let's not, because that's way too difficult in terms of rock climbing. I think a broken arm is perfect. So Janeway's kind of, you know, creating a sling out of something she has in her backpack or something. Yeah. And, you know.
Oh, this is okay. That's how we find out she cuts her hair. That's how she gets the short hair. She cuts it off.
She makes a sling out of her hair. Oh my God.
There you go. The bun of steel at work.
Wow. She's no Rapunzel. I mean, she's got long hair, but that would require a lot of length to make a sling.
I know.
I feel like that's far-fetched. It's hilarious.
I'm just kidding.
I see this visual of a sling made of hair, and what?
So they have all the perils that happen. We all know what it looks like. We all know what this episode looks like, and they come closer together. They, you know, she takes care of them, you know, and then they make it down the mountain, and then I think Chakotay is there at the
yeah, he finds him
at the detail. He finds him. He's the one who finds him. Him and his team are the ones who find him.
Cool.
Find them.
Yeah.
And they stand face to face, and if the audience hasn't gotten it yet,
seriously, we're gonna just like spell it out for them.
Yeah, this is where we spell it out for the audience, and they're face to face, and there's just immediate dislike.
Yes, of course. Cannot stand this guy.
Yeah, and like Chakotay's like, so I'm assuming this was your idea to come up the mountain with no supplies.
Yes.
You know, something
yeah,
like that.
How dare you put Catherine in danger?
And then he goes, he's like, actually, it was her idea.
Yeah.
He's like, are you the one that let your captain out of your sight?
You know, oh, yeah, like rare, yeah. The clouds come out on both sides.
I love it. It's like it's a cat fight mixed with a pissing contest.
I love it. Oh, this will be fantastic. And I don't know, for some reason I enjoy the visual of jealous Chakotay.
Yeah, I do, because we've seen him jealous before, but I think this would be even more
overt. This is heated.
Yeah, this would be heated.
Yeah, this for him is game on. Yeah, and granted, this is not going to be like jealous Neelix. This is going to be very deep-seated. Like,
yes.
I really hate that guy. And yet there's really nothing he can do about it, but he's just seething underneath. The angry warrior is back. Because he sees so much of himself in this guy.
Exactly. And when we see, you know, traits that are ourselves sometimes in other people, sometimes that can bring out the worst in us.
Exactly. Yes.
So I feel like, okay, so they say goodbye. They have a nice goodbye. You know, like maybe the doc, maybe Mosh is in sick bay. Like she says, okay, well, I'll have my doctor, you know, take a look at you.
Yeah, we'll fix your arm. No problem.
And so we're back on the ship. Janeway goes to sickbay, and she's in full, you know, her captain's get up, and he's never seen her like that before.
Uh-huh. Has she regrown her hair yet?
Well, it's the 24th century. Maybe she could. And
I think there's definitely hair follicle stimulators. That would explain the haircut in Parturition, and then next episode it's Bun of Steel.
Right. I feel like the doc, you know, like she walks in, and the doc's there. You know, she says, like, can you give us a minute, doctor? And he's like, okay, that's fine. You know, he knows exactly what's going on, but like he makes some sort of reference to him being like Chakotay.
Okay, like what?
Okay, maybe it's a scar that's on his head in the same place.
Ooh, I like that idea.
Like,
yeah,
it's a scar from the war, and it's in the same place as Chakotay's tattoo. And then the doc goes, you know, I could always get rid of that that tattoo. I'm sorry, I mean scar that you have on your head.
Yes.
If you want, and he's like, no, it's a reminder. I think I'd like to keep it. And then Doctor just goes, and walks away as he looks at Janeway.
You can totally see Robert Picardo doing that too.
Yes, I
executing
think so.
It to perfection as usual. Oh man, I want this episode on screen so bad.
I guess that does enter in the, like, if the doc knew that she was going to climb the mountain, and then like she goes missing, wouldn't he be able to tell Chakotay? Oh, she went hiking. And we haven't heard from her, so maybe we should look at the mountain. But I guess because of the tech and the EM readings and whatever, it like inhibits their sensors, so they have to go on foot. So there you go. That's the
That makes some sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they delay just a little bit because, hey, give her some privacy.
Yeah. There you
I'm
go.
Sure,
there you
she's
go. Yeah.
Fine. She's very capable. So instead of Vosh asking if there were openings for an archaeologist on the Enterprise, Janeway invites Mosh. To become a part of the crew. Like, hey, I like you, and I want to continue this thing that we've got going here. Why don't you come aboard my ship and explore the great unknown that way? You know, we do plenty of good, too. And he's just, yeah, I would love to, but I kind of need to do this on my own for myself right now.
Yeah, he says, he's like, this is your mission. I still need to find mine.
Yeah. Yeah, and so she'll respect that. She gets it. And even though she's completely heartbroken, and he's just like, yeah, see you around, baby.
Yeah, yeah. See you around, baby.
Right, yeah. There's that promise of, hey, I probably will show up again.
Yeah. And then end of episode.
Boom. That's the episode. How about that? Okay, so we converted Captain's Holiday into Voyager. Now, we basically constructed this as a season 2 or 3 Voyager episode. I think that works.
I think this is timeless, actually. I think this can be plopped in anywhere.
Well,
really
except for the hair thing.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, that was a joke.
I'm sorry. I'm just getting very technical about that. You know how I am with
but
hair.
But yeah, I feel like this could happen in any season. I think, but it would have to be after feelings are established between Chakotay and Janeway.
That's true. So really, we need kind of a season 3 onward thing.
Season 3
would
onward.
Be very good, because that's when Janeway and Chakotay really are kind of at their height, if you will, before they really relegate down to just deep friendship.
When was the monkey episode?
End of season 2.
Yep. So you're right. Yeah, it's got to be after. Yeah, it has to be after season 2. So season 3 on.
Okay. And that gives plenty of opportunity for multiple visits with Mosh. Mm-hmm. Okay, there we go. All right, that's the episode. Go us.
That's
that was pretty
episode.
Cool.
Yeah, I think that was fun.
Yeah, we churned out a good one, I think. Okay, well, Mosh isn't the only thing that we've been talking about on Trek FM this week. Here's a glimpse at what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Earl Grey.
Geordi is the one that's like, you know what? No, you're wrong. You're wrong about Data.
I'm going to drop a challenge right here, and Data's totally going to step up to the plate, and you're going to get served, Plasky.
And that's how LaForge created Moriarty.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it turned out good, but I mean, he had good intentions.
The Orb.
The Wadi, a fun-loving race from the Gamma Quadrant, arrive at DS9 eager to play a game with Sisko and the crew, one that appears to be a matter of life and death. All right, so are we moving along, Matthew?
Oh, we're moving along.
Is there any redeeming value?
The Ready Room.
He's carrying in the lamb chop sock puppet saying, she stayed at her post.
While Charlie Horse ran.
While Charlie Horse ran.
To the journey!
It feels like I just won an Oscar and an Emmy and a Tony. All at the same time, and a People's Choice Award, and a Nickelodeon Award.
Dang!
So, yeah.
So not quite an EGOT, but close.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
I haven't seen Mean Girls.
You haven't seen Mean Girls?
I know, everybody wants me to see Mean Girls.
Oh my God, yeah, you have to see Mean Girls. I mean, after Josie and the Pussycats, though. So.
Oh, how could I forget Josie and the Pussycats?
The 602 Club.
I actually like when they bring in the big container for the brain fish at the beginning.
That's so weird.
Yeah,
and
it was really
it opens
mysterious.
Up and it's, you know, speaking through the...
And all the minions that have to mop up after it at the end.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
Although it's like a slug trail.
You can actually see one of the guys while he's talking kind of wandering around mopping up. I was like, what is that guy doing?
Literary Treks.
You're totally right that when Atonement was done, I really did feel like everybody needed a break.
Like a Kit Kat bar?
There wouldn't be challenges and obstacles and things, but I wanted the next sort of series of adventures that they faced for a while to be more infused with the sense of wonder that sort of underpins all of Trek.
Women at Warp.
AF, which are the initials that Picard carved into Boothby's tree back on Starfleet Academy, and that is how he met Boothby the groundskeeper.
Well, we never did learn Boothby's first and second name, did we? It was all a ploy to get to hang out with Boothby.
Meta Treks.
If I look at the Abramsverse now, having talked it out, it seems like they're both an alternate timeline and an alternate reality at the same time. Not every sense of alternate timeline, not every sense of alternate reality, but there's at least one sense in which they overlap, and you can say you can have your cake and eat it too, and the Abramsverse is both at the same time.
Melodic Treks.
I wanted something for the cars, you know, a phrase describing them, which is amazing. And I wanted to use a different word for that, for amazing. And in this case, I sought out the African Swahili word, Kushengeza, which is an actual word that means amazing.
And introducing Saturday Morning Trek, a show about the animated series and all things Trek in the 1970s.
Chekhov was in the first season, but he was working on the third deck behind the boiler room and was ill with a condition called Malaprovsky's malady, which is a kind of 23rd century version of Montezuma's revenge, and was hidden in the bathroom, ensconced there for hours and hours, while poor Mr. Khanna's genetically engineered kidneys, about to explode, pounded pitifully on the door, begging to be let in, until finally the door opens, Chekhov steps out, Khan looks at him and says, "Your face, I remember."
That's the best explanation I've ever heard.
you get the idea that I've told this story before.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows. We're available on just about every platform you could possibly consider to download your podcast. And none of our shows are possible anymore without the help of you, our listeners. We are a listener-supported network, and it all happens through Patreon. Go to patreon.com/trekfm and consider becoming a monthly subscriber if you aren't already. There's cool perks in it for you based on your donation level, and everything that we get contributed to the network goes straight back into the network. You know, have costs for distribution, storage, bandwidth, you name it. And this keeps the network afloat because it unfortunately costs a lot of money to get new Trek Talk coming to you every single day. So if you like what we do and you want to support us, that is an awesome way to make it so. We want to thank on TTJ our associate producers, and those lovely people are Jamie Deuce, Kenneth Tripp, Bruce Lish, and Aaron Harvey. You are all lovely people, and we thank you for supporting TTJ as well as the network. Now, another way you can support us is by writing us a review on iTunes. That is definitely the best way to do something that takes only a few minutes of your time, but at the same time, helps us out greatly, because iTunes is still the absolute, like, most popular way that people find podcasts. And so if you leave us a review there, that really helps us boost up in the rankings and help other people find the show. And we have some awesome people who have left us reviews lately. So let's thank them. Those people are Tarian, 3D Captain, and Omega Sam 87. So thank you guys so much for leaving us 5 stars, all of you, leaving us a review. You've helped us out greatly. So thank you so, so very much. We appreciate it. And if you don't know, and if you have not left us a review, you know what to do. We will give you a shout out on the show, just like we did for these awesome people. And you keep the party going. We love that. So this has been a lot of fun, and I think this is a topic that we're going to have to revisit with another episode sometime in the future.
Absolutely.
Through all the series, across all the series, not just TNG. So we can have a blast with this forever. We've done it for this week, though, and we've got just as good of a topic coming up next week. What is that going to be, Tristan?
So next week, what we're doing is we miss our marathons. We miss our top five marathons, and we ran out of seasons. You know, like we're like, oh, what are the top five episodes that we would watch per season? So like the top five episodes from season three to watch a marathon and things like that. But
right.
We want to come back to that. And so we're going to do top five marathon episodes of individual characters. So 5 episodes that you'd watch in a lazy Sunday afternoon. And next week we're doing Janeway. But on top of that, we are calling for you folks to send us your questions, because we're doing another To the Journey AMA. AMA stands for Ask Me Anything. Last time we did it, it was very successful. We got a lot of great questions. And so we're doing it 2 weeks from now, so you guys have more opportunity to submit your questions. You can do it several different ways. You can email us by going to trek.fm/contact. You can find us on Twitter. You can find me at The Insane Robin. You can find Char at Oh The Profanity. And you can also do it on Facebook in our Babel conference. And Char, you usually make a thread just for that, right?
Right. I will create one thread, and let's keep all of the questions in that one thread so there's not tons and tons of posts scattered throughout. And I don't want to miss any either. So please keep it to that one thread that I create.
That'll be in 2 weeks. But again, next week is going to be top 5 marathon episodes that center around Janeway.
So until then, everybody, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!